All right, everybody. Let's welcome everybody out to a brand new episode of Let's Talk Local Utah. I'm your host, Chris Hollifield. We're recording here in the podcast studios. I have an awesome guest here in the studio. I'm going to introduce him here in just a minute as I stumble all over my words. I want to thank everybody for coming back week after week and checking out my podcast episodes. If you have not subscribed, hit that subscribe or follow button. That way you can get an episode sent right to your podcast player right when it gets released. Every Thursday morning, I have a new episode that gets released. I want to thank our sponsor, though, the Red Sign Real Estate Team. They are my real estate team, and I could not, talk. These guys are awesome. RedSign.com is the website. If you're looking to move to Utah, maybe you are looking to downsize. Maybe all of your kids have moved out and you're like, I don't need this much space. Give me a call. Shoot me a text. Let's talk. Let's see if this is a good time to buy or sell. My number is 801-244-2908. That is my cell phone. So you could text me anytime if you have any questions about the real estate market. But like I said, I have a really awesome guest in. This is the first episode of 2024. I took a couple of weeks off, you know, and I never have done this with any of the podcasts that I've done in the past. I've always been the type that's like, it's Christmas, let's put out a new episode. It doesn't matter. But you know what? I took a couple weeks off and spent it with my family. And you know what? That you never get time back, right? You never get time back. So anyway, on this episode of the podcast, Earl Sagewolf is joining me. He is here in the podcast studio. This is going to be a really cool conversation because I actually had him on the podcast. What'd you say? It's been about 3 years, Earl. That
4, maybe 5. I don't even remember. But yeah, it's been a while.
And it was a completely different situation. It was a completely different scenario. Your life is different. I mean, shoot, my life is different.
Yeah.
Everybody's life is different, right? Like, And if I'm not mistaken, that episode actually was probably under a different name, right? Yes. Do you care to share that name?
It was Philip Cooper.
Philip Cooper. Okay, yeah. That's why I was trying to, and I should have looked it up. I don't even remember. It doesn't matter, man. It doesn't matter. That's right, Phil Cooper. Phil. But Earl, what? Do you care to share why the name changed with that? Have we talked about that at all?
No, I love sharing this story too. I'm good.
What was with the name change, man?
So first of all, Earl is my middle name.
Okay.
And so it was just like a name that I kind of ran away from when I was a kid. I think it was just an old story of, if it was said in like high school or middle school,
yeah,
it was just, I grew up in Southern California,
okay,
Temecula, California. So it was like, oh, that's a Southern name. So I just kind of in an old man name or something,
yeah,
you know, I just like that stuck with me all the years. So I really didn't mention my middle name. And so what struck me to my middle name was the beginning of this whole journey that I'm on. And I started years ago. But this part of the edge of going straight to the hard part, straight to something that doesn't feel right or feel good or like feels a little off, just to visit it. And so that was the first thing, was like, why was I so afraid of the name Earl? Why did I, oh, it was 'cause of this story and this story. So in a sense, I reclaimed my name and now it's my first name. And so I don't have those fears or doubts or like the unworthiness of my name because of my middle school or high school affiliates saying, oh, that's so Southern or that's an old. So instead of running away from it, I took it head on. And so now Earl.
Okay. That's okay. And I have actually another question, but one thing I did not mention is today we're going to be talking about what Earl's been up to with the fellowship and what he's doing with these hats he's got. He's actually wearing one of these. So if you're watching this on our Patreon video, you can actually see it, which I love it. I think it's cool, man. I need to get one.
Yeah, they're
fun. So we're going to get into all that and find out why you're not cutting hair anymore and all that stuff. But I want to actually, can I actually ask you one more question on the name change?
Yeah.
So, because my middle name is Albert. Okay. Right. And which is my grandfather's name. And talk about an old man. It's another old man's name. Yeah. Another old person's name. I've always loved it. Yeah. Albert. Mm-hmm. Right. Just cause you don't really, you don't really meet many Alberts, right? Like it's a very,
especially now.
Chris is like, there's a million Chris's, right? Yeah. And, but I've always thought like, if I started going by Albert, did people, I don't know. Was there a little bit of an identity crisis there? Was there a little bit of like people even getting confused? Like, you know, you spend all this time developing, you know, I'm Chris Hollifield. Yeah. And then all of a sudden I'm Albert. And it's like, well, who are you? And then you feel like you have to sell yourself again. I don't know. Was it hard for you when you switched it like that?
It wasn't hard for me. And I didn't take offense to anything. It was more hard. Yeah. It's hard for
other people.
It was very hard for, certain people more than not, but yeah, it was hard. It ended up being a joke. My name was Floral. Cause it was like, hey, Phil Earl. And so that was kind of like, just call me Floral. But yeah, now it's been, I don't know. So our podcast, I was Phil Cooper. So I don't know. I've had this name for almost 4 years.
I was going to say, I think it was pretty quick after that podcast.
Yeah. So 4 years. And now I finally feel like my wife is like solid calling me Earl.
So does she still call you Phil sometimes?
Yeah, it was hard for her. And I would ask her and I'm like, please, like, just, it's not like she wasn't honoring my name change.
Yeah.
It meant a big deal to me. And it was more like she was just so used to it. So like we met in the middle for years of like, all right, she's still calling me Phil. And then she even mentioned when she first met me that Phil didn't fit who I was and how she knows me too. So it was like a double for her. She's like, I had to get used to Phil, even though I didn't think that was really a name for you. Now it's Earl. And so yeah, now she's solid and calling me Earl, and pretty much everyone who knows me now and like my family, extended family, they call me Earl, Uncle Earl. And
so did you have to like correct people, or did you just kind of let people like keep calling you what they called you and then maybe start introducing yourself, start putting it on your paperwork, hoping that it kind of transferred over?
Yeah. So it depends. So if I told you my name was Earl and like I hung out with you quite often or frequently and I would correct you a couple times, but then I'll let you have it.
Okay. Okay.
Like people are grown people. So it's like at one point I can't, you know, it was just the closest people, like my wife. And so the reason why I was changing my name, and I wanted my wife to support that. She knew the reason. I don't have time
or
I don't tell everyone why I explain like why I changed my name, but she knew the reason why, and I don't mind telling shortly why here, but it just on the go or someone I met like hair, like I used to go by Filthy actually. So like the old,
that's good for hair though.
Yeah, right? It was a good run, but I was attracting Filthy, you know, it was kind of like the words kind of were playing in that realm. But, so I even have old heads from like when they knew me back then, like in the salon days, call me, oh, hey, what's up, Filthy? And I'm like, whoa, that, like, you must have known me like when I was a different person. But yeah, the name change ended up being, I'm named after my dad, and my relationship with my dad is what it is. It's nothing, but it is what it is in regards to I love him for creating me and trying his best. And I continue to do my father work in that.
Yeah.
But I was named after him, and I just didn't want to carry even those energetics of like having the same name as him. And then also for me, as I continue to do this work, I'm like, that's pretty, you know, in our society, like a man names his son after him and it's like prideful, quote unquote. But to me now it's more egotistical and like, you're mine. Like, I was living his life because he named me that. So I felt like, I was like, not cursed, but I was stuck in that him. And I'm not him. I'm far from who he is. And one of the reasons why I feel like we don't really talk is because of that. You know, I'm more creative. He was sports and your typical dude guy, you know?
Yeah. This is actually so perfect for the first episode of 2024 because you are the master of reinventing yourself. Mm-hmm. And that is a beautiful thing. Yeah. And I think you do a really good job of it.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you bet. I mean, you're very welcome. I mean, I'm jealous of it as I've gone through. I mean, as we reinvent ourselves of new careers, new directions, new relationships, new thoughts, right? Like so much of my life, I grew up thinking I had to be the same person. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what that was like where that thought process is like, if you changed your thoughts, if you changed the way you viewed something, then you're a bad person.
Yeah.
How? Okay. So, cause you used to cut hair. Mm-hmm. You completely left that career. I mean, you taught hair.
Yeah.
You, down here in Provo, right? Yeah. At Paul Mitchell, yeah, if I remember correctly.
I traveled the United States teaching hair. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was your life. That was your identity. Yeah. And then you just woke up one day and decided not to do it. I mean, talk about that. What was that all about, man? Like, was that a hard decision?
Yeah. I mean, there's attachments I know in my life that, like what you were speaking on, I didn't experience your life, so I like to speak in I statements.
Sure. Yeah.
So it was my attachment that I'm familiar with you were talking about.
Yeah.
Of like living that story and living and just put it on replay. And like the more people that knew of me as hair, it just like kind of fed the attachment story, monster, whatever you want to call it. It's like, oh, so you're a hair, like another person, especially depending on in hair fashion or, you know, the icon kind of era of hair. Like if I got to a point where people started knowing me as a hair person, it just fed that attachment. So yes, me cutting it off was a big, still is. I'm still in this big jump. I'm in the Geronimo stage of like changing gears and like pursuing more of my purpose. And so, yeah, like doing, I do ritual haircuts here and there, and I still teach.
Ritual haircuts. What are ritual haircuts?
So ritual haircuts came along when merging the healing journey I'm on and all the personal coaches, the weekends and the sweat lodges and all the things that I've been able to do and work through. I'm like, how do I merge the two worlds? And it's still kind of complicated, but I feel like the hair industry is starting to be more open with, you know, wellness and personal development on a level of like inter instead of, you know, I love Tony. I don't want to say his last name, but it's a lot of like, go get it. Like, and your go get it could be like just being the best dad or the best person to yourself, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to
You're talking about Tony, the big Tony, the big speaker Tony guy. Okay. We didn't need to mention.
It's always like, just go big. And so.
I thought maybe you were talking about like a coworker Tony.
Oh, no, no, second. No. Just like big Tony, you know?
Yeah.
And he's amazing. And he got me going. I'm just saying there's a space for the average human and their bigness on stage, big personality or, you know, identity change could be just being a better dad or a better husband. And it's not just, that's huge, you know? And so that's what started kind of gearing me towards the decision to leaving hair. Cause I wasn't potentially becoming who my purpose is on earth or here as a friend.
You felt cutting hair was causing you to not.
Yeah. I was in that world and it just kind of made me like not come home and, you know, be who I know I could be. And I was just like living that identity of cool and like hair and fashion. And I'm a teacher and it was a very ego space that I was in.
Yeah.
And it was just me. And it wasn't like, I felt like I was in a good space where it was like, I wasn't, ooh, I'm this guy, but I definitely felt good about I definitely felt like I knew I was in this space and I wasn't growing. I wasn't stretching. I wasn't going anywhere. I was out creatively and as an educator and in the hair world, I was. But that was super shallow for me.
How long were you cutting hair for?
Almost 17 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So it was a minute. It was a minute. Yeah. This wasn't like 3 years or two years. No. Like this was this, that, okay, now we're talking because that definitely is a big part of your identity. 17 years of your life.
Yeah. So the way you said it made me like just now, this present moment, realize like, whoa, I did change my identity.
Yeah, you did. Well, like, no, it's like, not a bad thing.
I didn't even think of it like that.
Like
though.
It's not a bad thing to change your identity, right? Like as I, even when I became a real estate agent, right? Like it was like all of a sudden I had to, you know, you're knowing, okay, I'm the podcast guy, right? Or like in other lives, I used to sell granite at you know, tile places and it's, you know, you're knowing for whatever you do, right? So just like, you were Phil the hair guy and now you want to be known as Earl, the, you know, doing men's work and, you know, coaching and stuff like that. Right. So that is a difficult thing.
It is.
It's a very difficult thing and props to you for doing it, man. Yeah. Like it's cause it is so easy to go back to what we're familiar with, our comfortability. Even, I mean, I'm sure you had to even like kind of not give up, but like, put some of your friendships, like the, you know, some of your friendships were, are probably no longer friendships. I don't know what the best wording for that is, like without being a jerk, but there's some people you realize I can't be their friend because I'm not going to be able to grow into that next part of who I need to grow into.
Exactly. There's this, I don't even say it's a saying, it's just to evolution takes separation sometimes, and it doesn't have to be humans or like friendships. It could, it's just, you have to stop something to hold a capacity of space for something new. Like how you have to get rid of, and I'm saying have to, because you do, like I use these words very, you know, on point. I've been changing my verbiage and stuff like that. So like have to is like a thing. You can't really change your life and hold on to some old stuff. It's not necessarily going to be the easiest. And it does take time sometimes to let go of friendships and, you know, habits that don't serve you anymore and all that stuff. But at one point you get to a space where you could understand that like, whoa, I have changed my life. You'll know, look back and you're like, whoa, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not doing this anymore. It just kind of creeps up on you. So yeah, I definitely had to separate to evolve to who I am today and who I, you know, am going to be.
Let's actually, you know, one thing I forgot to mention up top, and I told before we started recording, I said, let's mention up top the fellowship.
Yeah.
What you're on Instagram. Your Instagram, and what is your Instagram?
And so the fellowship?
You have a couple Instagrams.
I have a couple Instagrams.
Okay.
Yeah. And cause I do a couple different things, and I know for some, what do you want to call it? For some people that do social media, that's probably not ideal to have so many different pages, but I have a hat page and I create crowns for your,
which we'll get into too. Yeah.
And then that's Crown X Sage on Instagram. And then the fellowship page is a page that is evolving. It's meant to have this community of like-minded individuals that are in this growth path. The fellowship is not just a page. It's actually in person. I want it to be a group of humans or a community that could rely on each other, essentially,
and like
really be a community. I've been involved in communities that are really amazing and they feel good, but there's like I feel like it kind of lacks depth.
Okay.
And like outside of the events, it's like, I see the same people and they see me and my family at the same events. Cool. And that's it.
Okay.
And you build friendship based on these like events. And we've been doing certain events like a static dance for, you know, 7 years, you know, and we see the same people at the dance that come through. But then like by now I would love to develop a good relationship with some of them, but we don't have a place like we have. Then after dance, we go to our busy week, our busy lives, all that stuff. So the fellowship is here to like, to have fellowship, to have a space where anybody could come. Like during the summer, we'll have like barbecues and we'll drop in with like maybe a breath work or some yoga and like just live real life like we're doing now, but add some depth to it, some growth, some prompts, some journal prompts, or just anything in this world of like, just being a better person and deepening relationships as a whole, collectively. So that's what the fellowship is. On Instagram, it's very man driven right now because I have the King's Council that is the root of the fellowship. So a lot of the stuff I'm posting right now and like doing is like holding circles for gatherings for men. And so there's a lot of pictures or quotes of stuff like that. I am a man. And so a lot of the things
are you,
you know, so a lot of the things I know, and you know, the struggles or, you know, and then the celebrations come from being a man in that space. And what we do as men is like provide and, you know, and protect. So a lot of that stuff on the fellowship is that.
So is that kind of what you wanted to do, right? You were like, I want to quit cutting hair to do the fellowship.
Well,
I
so
mean,
yeah,
is that kind of, did you already know that, or did the fellowship kind of come after you stopped cutting hair?
It's kind of like kind of the same time.
Okay.
So I've been with this organization of men called Sacred Sons, and they originated in like,
I'm not familiar with them.
Yeah. No. They originated in San Diego. And during COVID it was Maui, and now they're going back to San Diego, like headquarters. But I've been with them since 2019. Or 2020, around that time. And they...
Now, what do you mean by being with them?
Being involved on
like
their
weekend. Like a member
weekend.
Or something?
So, yeah, yeah. It's you just show up.
Okay.
So I don't know, member is the name of it, of the word, but I kept showing up. And now I'm support facilitating and getting into a place where... Excuse me. Getting into a place where I'm facilitating men and men, you know, and... being in it. So not this weekend, but next weekend we'll be in Arizona for a weekend with a bunch of the brothers from Sacred Sons. And we hold that space, or we witness these brothers for the first time at Sacred Sons come in and we do the work.
And what kind of work are you going to do? Like, tell me what you would do.
You'd have to show up.
I'd have to show up.
Yeah.
I mean, is that like internal spiritual stuff? Like a
fight club. You got to keep it.
No, I mean, no, I'm serious here because I mean, this something like this could be good for me, man.
Oh,
like,
no,
like I need some, I need some help like this, man. Like,
and that's the thing.
You know what I mean? Like, I love therapists. Like, I love going to a therapist, but something like this might even be able to go into a deeper thing. I think, I don't know.
I love that.
I don't
Thanks
know.
Thanks for sharing that. Yes. So we do. Whatever work comes out. So there's spiritual, there's embodiment. It's just pure embodiment. And so there's exercises and tools we'll do through the weekend to really look internal, to see like what I was talking about earlier in our conversation, like to find those spaces that you're carrying that doesn't serve you anymore. So like, yeah, I was a DJ when I was 14 and still trying to be a DJ and it's not really working, whatever, you know, or me doing hair. Like it just was not supporting my life, like truly. And the more it's kind of scary. A lot of men, first of all, don't even know about this. And then when they do, you get to have the warrior courage to go there. It hurts. It's hard. There's things that come up that are shameful. And a lot of things that hold a big thing that holds men back is shame, you know, and
so it's probably a lot of emotions.
Yeah. So one of the things I could share with you is we'll do ritual combat. Mm. So we'll put on boxing gloves and and we'll go at it. And it's amazing. Because there's an edge. Either you're like, oh, I don't want to box, or you want to box and tear someone's head off. So there's an edge depending on the man, and we meet it, and we have a facilitator that works through it. And there's an intention before you fight, before you dance with each other, and you stare each man in the eye, and you tell each other the intention. And a lot of them is like, for instance, my intention, I'll just share my intention, was to show that I could be that protector for my family just through this exercise. Like, I can show up for my family. Because it was an edge for me to go in the circle with this a couple of the brothers. I've done it a handful of times now, but the first time was like, oh, like, we're doing this. Yeah. And what it did for me is, like, it helped me, instead of have a switch on the red, that was another edge for me. It's like, I just don't want to beat this brother up. Like, I don't want, not like I'm could beat anyone up, but I just don't want to go turn see red, you know? And a lot of men I've noticed have that. And it helped me turn that switch into a dial to where I could. And so when some, you know, I get an uppercut from life, there's more of a dial instead of a switch, you know? There's just a lot of really valuable lessons in getting punched in the face. you know, it's like embodiment, talk about embodiment. How present can you be when you get wrung the first time when the, you know, the whistle blows and you're like, oh, this is real, fully embodied, you know, like you feel the hit in your face. And then you realize you're either going to turn the switch on red or, you start protecting yourself or like, but then the cool thing about the space that is held with the other brothers and the facilitators is like, we get to show you, shh, calm down. Hey, okay, stop. What's coming up? What's coming up for you? Men are bawling or crying. Like, I remember beating up this guy in fourth grade, you know, like stories. And then we get to do the work and like be there for that brother. Instead of just like, throw on gloves, let's fight. Who's the biggest and baddest? It's not about who's going to win or who doesn't. I mean, actually, most victors are the ones that get knocked down and come back up. And we're like, whoa, you did it. You got knocked down and you're standing back up. You didn't quit. So that's,
yeah,
that's the medicine, right? Like, that we don't get to, when's the last time you wrestled? When's the last time as a grown man we got to like play like that? And actually work on our structure and how to punch and protect. Like, there's so many levels to just that one thing we do during the weekend that it's just serving the medicine for these men and for myself. It was just, it's just amazing how it works.
So that's with Sacred Sons.
Yes.
The Fellowship King's Council, is that something similar you do? So you like weekend stuff there, but in Utah?
Yeah, so we're definitely bringing it to Utah.
Yeah.
We do have another Utah men's circle, and he's another Sacred Son guy. His name is Joe, and they do things like that too. We're just bringing another flavor to it.
Okay. No. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And so what are you doing with King's Council then?
So this is going to be this Saturday in Murray, we're going to meet again, and this will be our third meeting.
If you're listening to this and you got like on Thursday when this releases, you have a couple of days on Saturday, Saturday, the 13th,
from 4 to 7.
Okay.
And, right now we're at a place where this is the third time. I have a couple of my brothers that come through that they're pretty consistent in my life and they're consistent showing up. And, in that space, the King's Council is here to sharpens iron, men sharpen men. And so right now we're not boxing, we're not doing a lot of things, but we are priming other leaders to have their own circles eventually too. And to have like, just to kind of spread it throughout Utah and just have these men's circles. So if your flavor is more like my buddy Wes, you're going to go there and then we can merge and then like have a big, like my plans are to have a big King's Council, like hangout summer jam with the families and like, you know, slip and slides and like all the men are holding and like being divine masculine men and they're holding their family and like the families are playing and like, you know, there's less divorce, there's less arguing, there's more communication and more presence in men in their relationships and then in their as a dad getting down on the floor being tickle monster like I always am, you know, all of that equivalates to how you show up at home. So all the things I do on the other places, at first I wasn't really doing it at home.
Mm.
And so my big journey is to continue to bring it home, bring it home, bring it home, bring it home. That's the big thing. So
this Saturday you have the event, but what about like if somebody's listening to this later on?
Yeah.
I mean, could they find out? I mean, I guess you're going to have more events.
Yes.
Can people also work with you one-on-one?
Yes.
How does that work? I mean, I guess go to your Instagram and find out all that or
so what? Yeah, my Instagram, and I'll say it again probably at the end, but my Instagram, that's not hats or, you know, men's work. It's Earl_doing_the_work.
Okay.
So it's Earl doing the work. And yeah, DM me or, DM me there. But I do I've been taking on, since the switch of doing hair, one-on-one coaching, mentorship, whatever you want to call it. I do have 6 and 10 week, options. I'm creating so many other things that is coming up too. Like I'm creating an online men's group, like a King's Council, a 90 day challenge type of thing that we like, we'll link up on Zoom once a week or once every other week and have a challenge for each week. And
okay.
Just keeping like the men group growing and accountable and like, you know, push ups or cold plunges or here's a journal prompt.
Yeah.
You know, and then we could speak into like, hey, today, you know, or this week I'm having a hard time like listening to my wife, which is real. It's hard, you know, sometimes. And you could speak that into the container and be heard. And sometimes it's just that, just speaking it really does help men understand their emotion or like kind of start tapping into that. So yes, one-on-one is really potent. And then the 90 day challenge that I'm going to be coming out with, is pretty potent, but it's in a group setting. So if you really want to dive deep, it would be one-on-one with me and just reaching out to me and I could tell the people the rest whenever they
just pull this microphone back up just a little bit there. I'm losing you on the microphone. Just pull it back to your face. There you go. Yeah, right there. Right there. There we go.
Cool.
Awesome. Awesome. No, that, I mean, what's been like the most challenging thing for you with getting this group going, do you think? Is there anything that you could think of?
No. No, because I know it takes time, you know. It takes time. There's nothing really challenging in sense of like something I can't like conquer or do. I feel like
that's a good way to,
you know, like there's challenges, but there's nothing where I'm like, oh man, you know,
yeah,
like that comes off the top of my head. I'm just,
what about rewarding? Any rewarding things? I'm sure there's been all kinds of rewards, man. Just watching these men change, you know,
the rewarding part is that, I feel like the individual like conversations and the aha moments in my one-on-one containers when we're on the call and they're just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, cause what we do is we really focus on something that just comes up in your week or your month. And it, like I was talking to you earlier, how I show up in one thing is how I show up in most everything in my life. Mm. So if you're struggling in this and this is like, oh, I'm procrastinating. Okay. So where else is that showing up in your life? So we get to really focus. You get to have somebody that's focused and there for you and holding you accountable in a loving way to like move forward and, you know, knock them, start de-shedding these stories of these old self. So the gratifying, rewarding pieces is those moments when they're like, I did it. And like, it's not coming back. And if it does, hello, goodbye. You know, like there's a shift.
Yeah.
And so there's so many of them. So that's why I'm just putting it all into a group of like the aha moments and seeing them actually take it on and change. And it's consistent. And that's
awesome.
Why, man. I do it.
Yeah. Let's talk about your hats, man. Crown Sage.
Yeah.
Which you gave, which the Instagram is just instagram.com/ Crown Sage,
Crown X Sage. Yeah.
Or you just search Crown X Sage, on the app. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is it? I mean, you're obviously wearing one of your hats now.
Yep.
I'm unfamiliar with it. What you're doing. I mean, are you making the hats or what? What is what's the story? What are you doing with it?
Like, yeah. So I got blessed to know Ginger and Coy and John, some of the people that own, you know, GG Pip and Two Roads, local hat company, huge. So I ended up working out where I'm partnered with him. So what you would do is you would order a hat. Well, I mean, we would connect and you order a hat from their website. And then I would bedazzle it the way I would just put my magic on it.
I got it. So you got like some different, like, what would you call that? Like burn, not yeah. like burning?
Yeah.
Like,
so yeah, like I hand burn them with a wood like pin.
Yeah.
And then I have a laser too to make it like this crisp. So what I could do is this one is my ceremony hat. I wear this quite a bit and it says Earl Sage Wolf burnt into it. It has the sacred sun symbol and like all my spirit animals, my mother's spirit animal, just things I connect with.
Okay.
And so a lot of people that are in my field are all about, you know, totems and spirit animals or, you know, the stars and planets and more spiritual stuff. But I could put logos. I made straight up like a rancher hat with a logo on it. This guy was in social media, so he just had his logo and put a feather in it, and it just looked cool on him.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a cool looking hat, man. I don't know if I could pull it off.
I feel like everyone can though, especially with this company. Yeah. You have to find the right fit, like the right brim size,
yeah,
and the right crown shape. And the cool thing, the reason why I called it Crown and Sage is it's your crown. It's to give you more confidence and to personalize it. It's like even more confidence. You're like, whoa, this is me. This is mine. It's all meant for you to just walk into a room and yeah, people are going to see you and you just own it. You just have a newfound way of owning your power and who you are. So it's your crown essentially. And then the sage part is just my magic and how I sage it and send it off to you.
What even got you into this, man? Like hat, I'm hat making. I mean, or the hat designing process. I mean, yeah. Have you always been into that kind of stuff?
I've always been into hats.
Sure.
And I've always wore a hat or, you know, bought a brimmed hat or, you know, a snapback or a five panel. But I finally was like, all right, I'm going to buy a couple of hats. And it was for a photo shoot. And so I ended up buying a couple of hats and I just bought the wood burning and burnt the Teton Mountains into the side of the rancher and tagged, you know, Two Roads and GG Pip and they liked it. And then I did another one with a crescent moon and a round top and that looked really cool, pretty pioneerish looking shape. And burnt it a little bit and tagged them in it and they liked it. And then we talked and then it just turned into like,
did you see anybody else do it? You didn't see anybody else
doing
it?
There's so many people doing it.
Okay. So, cause I was like, if you didn't ever saw, I mean that, you must've been even a little nervous. Like I'm going to screw this hat up.
No, so here's the thing is what I'm finding out for myself as a creator and we're all creators.
Sure. Yeah. We just got to dig inside, man.
Yeah. We all create is the actual jump. It scared me shitless to like get that and burn a $200 hat.
You don't want to screw it up.
I don't want to screw it up. But at that time I wasn't watching like tips or anything. I just did it. And that's why it worked.
Because you weren't afraid.
I just did it.
Yeah.
And so I did a couple of them, posted them. And then I had some, you know, friends or local people are like, wait, do you sell those? And I'm like, oh, now I do, I guess. Like, what do you want on it? And then it built into like, whoa, I want this animal because this represents me. Like gorilla or whatever, you know, and then it just formed into Crown and Sage. I got my own logo and
talk about that actually for a second. I'm curious. So you posted it, you made a couple hats or you made a hat and you posted on your Instagram, I'm assuming, right? Yeah. Was that scary? Because you were afraid you our first thought is people are going to talk garbage. They're going to put it down. They're going to talk, they're going to make fun of me.
Yeah.
Was there any of that nervousness there? Not really.
Not about like someone's going to talk crap. I just wanted the people to understand what I was doing.
Okay. Okay.
Because it's different. I didn't really,
you don't deal with that anymore.
Yeah,
you don't,
yeah. And it, like doing posting and, you know, going all over the States, cutting hair and being on stage, cutting, like, I think I got over that kind of fear. Like I give two craps about it, you know, like what people's opinions to a certain extent is because as a creative and being able to shift my life into different places and move how authentically I can move, you know? And I feel like that's what it takes, is like, I can't really get too boggled down by somebody's opinion, you know? And even like my wife's opinion is super valuable, like the most valuable opinion in my world. And I still can't let, if my truth is this, or like my authenticity is going this way, like I get to honor that. And so,
what does she think of your hats?
She loves them.
Yeah.
I'm just talking like in general, if like there was something that I posted or put up, have those like, oh, maybe I talk too much.
Or this isn't getting enough likes. Yeah, you know what I mean?
So I do, but I just don't sit on it that long. That's one of the things, is like, you just move through it.
How'd you get there though? How'd you get to that point? Because I think that's what a lot of people, I think we all, well, not everybody, but I think a lot of us struggle with that, especially in such a social media world.
Yeah,
we're all on social media and we all spend too much time on it.
Yeah,
whether you want to or not, we find ourselves like, holy cow, I've been here way too long, scrolling forever. And then when we post stuff, we think our stuff isn't good enough. Mm-hmm. We critique ourselves. We're afraid. Oh, we're not getting enough likes.
Yeah. So,
I mean, what does a person do there, man?
I mean, again, I'm just going to always, I guess just knocking how I show up in every one thing is how I show up in a lot of things. So yeah, like doing the work and finding who I really am and enjoying myself and loving myself and loving everything I do, and knowing that there's a learning curve and it's okay that I mess up and the quote unquote mess ups, or, you know, the things that don't work out as well are opportunities to learn. And so just, you know, putting that in reps, and like, since I've been doing this work, you know, it's just been like, that's my lifestyle. It just turns into a lifestyle, and how you think and how you move. And it's just a little, you just move and think a little different, you know, and it has to be authentic. It has to be different. And so I already know it's going to be different. So someone's going to say something.
Yeah.
Someone's not going to. So I kind of like there, you know, there's so many practices, like there's visualizations, there's meditations, there's all this stuff that kind of curate who I am.
Yeah.
At this space and time where I could post something and be like, ah, and it comes up, but then I just like, all right, let's just go. You know, like I just know. And then there's other things in my life that, I mean, it's a constant journey. It's, you know, the hero's journey. Like I'm constantly evolving, growing, and wanting and working towards being a better person, right? Being my highest self. So with that, I still have, it may not be Instagram likes and all that, but I have other things. Like how deep can I go with this vulnerability piece? How can I really show my wife who I really am? You know, how can I do that to a point where I feel safe enough with myself to share that? So it may not be Instagram or like those things for me, because I've worked through that, but there's a whole nother level of that for me. And what happens is you'll have this, like I'll have this container of me and I've worked and opened it up a little bit. So like harder things kind of come in and I'm like, oh, this is a new thing. Yeah. Kind of feels the same, but it's new, but it's bigger. And so I've gotten to a point where I've done like a lot of work that it feels like, like I was telling you before we got on air, like where I'm at with my wife, it just feels like the end of the world, or like I have my moments, but I know I'm strong enough based on all the work I've already done. I know this is not the end of the world. I know, like for me as a man, I would react in fear or in anger because I go, my trigger or, you know, my default would be anger because I think it's the end.
Oh, everything's so permanent. Everything,
so yeah, permanent, black and white, you know? So
I struggle with that.
Right. A lot of men do though. And so me going through it and working, these are the tools and like certain things I get to share on my one-on-one or just with other men or in men's groups. And I'm still learning as I'm going to Arizona in a couple of weeks, you know, and then I'll be in San Diego and then Utah. They're going to be in Utah. We're going to be at Timber Moose. So I get these opportunities to expand, and as I expand, heavier, bigger things have more space to be shown.
And then
I get to choose if I want to do it or not. Cause that shit's hard, man. It hurts and things come up, you know, feelings and emotions, and you can't cut corners in this.
Yeah.
In this work, you know.
What do you do on days you don't feel motivated, man? Where you wake up and you're just like, I don't have it in me. I don't even want to get out of bed.
Yeah. So recently that came up and I didn't want to get out of bed. So I did, you know, 40 minutes of breath. And because I've sat with that and I know how to do it. But if I didn't know how to do breath, there's so many things you could do depending on the layer of like depression or the layer of how bad it is that you don't want to get out of bed.
Okay.
There's so many things you could start with. I remember not wanting to get out of bed quite a bit back in the day. And it was because I was overwhelmed and anxiety and so much stuff. So what really, did help me at that time was going to spaces where I could just talk it out and just get it off my chest. And then eventually after getting off my chest, I'm like, wait, I'm bitching too much.
Yeah.
What's me? So like, you know, talk therapy. Cool. So what can I do? Oh, cognitive embodiment. So I just, there has to be action. So you do have to get out of bed. Yeah. I know it's hard. And for some cases it's like non-negotiable. You're in bed. So I'm not saying, oh, it's that easy. Cause I know there's things I don't do that other people do. And I'm like, it's so hard for me. So I'm not saying it's easy to get out of bed, but for me, when I am stuck in bed and like feeling depressed or overwhelmed, I have these different tools that I like to share in these other spaces, depending on the severity of how deep we could go, you know. And some of them are journaling. Some of them, it's like I have to count to, you know, 5 or 100 that day. As I'm counting, it's like each number is like, okay, I'm getting up. Or I go to visualization where I could visualize myself getting up and like visualize the happy, the fun things. And, you know, oh yeah, you know, it's a thought thing too. There's a lot, like your brain doesn't know reality and what's real and what's not real, you know? So
yeah,
those are the few things that I use. Breath is like huge for me right now. And it doesn't even have to, it's a box breathe. It doesn't have to be like breath work and Wim Hof and like deep breathing. It could just be you breathe in for 4, hold for 4, breathe out for 4, hold for 4. That's why it's a box breathing.
Hmm.
And it really, you do that like, I mean, you could start with 5 times and then you get to a minute. Cause it's not like, like hard work where you have to like your body tenses up, but it really recalibrates your it's a nervous system thing when I'm depressed or when I'm,
yeah,
it's nerves, right? Your nervous system. So it recalibrates your nervous system, even that. So breath is a big one.
You mentioned Wim Hof. Do you do the ice plunges?
I did. And for a long time I was like, all right, I did that. Did the cold showers, did the plunging. And now it's even,
now you're like, I want my hot showers back.
Yeah. That's where I'm at now. But I see how big it is, like even more men stepping into this space.
It seems like it's just gotten huge.
And I'm like, cool. I still don't feel like I need to do that. I've been there. And then lately though, as of like the last month, I'm like, I don't lie to myself anymore.
Okay.
So I'm like, oh shit, I feel it coming on. Like my body wants, like it's like,
needs an ice bath.
All right, we're doing ice baths.
I've wanted to try one. I've never done one. I guess I could probably do one in my own bathtub or just go get a bunch of ice, I guess, or what? I mean,
you could, or you could just start with, like, I remember I started with, because I just didn't jump in to the lake. Worked my way up to that or into a plunge box or whatever they have now. I started with, you know, 10 seconds at the end of my shower, cold shower. 10 seconds. And I literally put my alarm on like 10 seconds and just breathing into that. And the cool thing about why it's so trendy and it's a good trend is that it, you know, it recalibrates your nervous system. It has so many health benefits. Also, if you could do that hard thing in the morning, nothing else really could touch you the rest of the day. And you feel like there's so much more energy that comes through your
body. That's what I hear, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, there's so many benefits. So it's not like I don't want to do it. It's just I don't feel like I have other benefits that I do.
No, I love it, man. I spent so much of my life, and I think I kind of shared this with you before we started recording, like I was always the type that would find the comfortable way out, man. Mm, yeah. What was the most comfortable thing to do?
Yeah.
With everything.
Sounds like your body and your mind and you need.
Yeah. And I don't know why I think we gravitate towards that as human beings, I guess, just in general. But I thought that was just normal. I thought that was what we saw it in life was comfortableness.
Yeah. Me too.
Not pushing ourselves and not doing the uncomfortable, pushing ourselves outside of our comfort zone, doing the hard things.
Yeah.
But no, it's. Dude, I've enjoyed chatting with you, man. Like this is really, I know, I've been doing a lot of work on myself, especially over the last couple of years,
yeah,
harder than I've ever done in my life.
That's good.
And I love the person that I am becoming.
Yeah.
And I can honestly say that. I couldn't honestly always probably say that in the past.
Yeah.
But it's fun, man. It's really fun to do that stuff. But let's talk Utah. And yeah. I think we talked about this last time you were on the podcast. These are kind of my generic questions that I ask everybody. But I always just love to see people's perception on Utah. There's a few new ones, I think, that are in here since the last time you've been on the show, Earl. But, you know, I'm kind of curious now as a few years have gone by, like, where do you like to take people when they visit Utah? When they come to the state, is there like one or two places that you like to like show off and you take people to and you say, this is Utah?
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be Salt Lake City, or I know you're up in Davis County.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be there. Mm. I mean, it could be anywhere in Utah, yeah. Zion or Bryce County, wherever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Park City. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It depends on the individual that would come through.
Like, well, sure.
I would support like kind of what they like. But generally, like it would probably be somewhere in the mountains, like Adams Canyon, Little Cottonwood, some kind of trail. And then, I like Park City. Park City's awesome. Zion's awesome. And then some yummy place to eat afterwards would be nice.
What are some of your favorite eating spots? I'm
so
curious.
I haven't been like since we've talked, I don't know how many kids we've made.
How many kids do you have now?
We have five.
You have five kids now? Holy cow.
And yeah, we're done.
We're done.
We've been done. But yeah, so it's to ask me that question, it's more like home cooked meals right now, yeah. You know?
Sure.
Doing stuff. But I do.
That's
I do,
good though. Yeah. You like home cooked meals.
Yeah. meals. I would cook someone a meal. But I do like, you know, there was a restaurant that I went down. It's by Cheers to You. A friend came down. Actually, one of the guys
right downtown. Right downtown Salt Lake. Yeah.
Yeah. Downtown Salt Lake. And I totally forgot the name. It's something White Elephant, I think, or White something.
That sounds right. Yeah. It used to be where Whiskey Street was,
yeah,
I think. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. That place was delicious. And that guy and his girlfriend, he was a guy who did one on one with me. And he went to a Sacred Sons event. And he's just like,
oh, the owner.
No, the guy who we met there, he's from out of town.
Sorry,
he's in
sorry.
LA. Yeah, he's in LA. And his girlfriend used to live up here. So she knew that place. We're like, whoa, this was under our nose. We've never been here.
Yeah.
And it's delicious.
Okay.
So right now it would probably be that place to take somebody because it was yummy.
What about anything you could change about Utah? If you could change anything, what would you change?
Oh, man.
This is a hard question.
Yeah,
I know.
I don't know if I could say that on air. Just kidding.
Let's do it. Let's say it. Let's get risky here.
I don't. Okay. So I feel like
the drivers, huh? This is the drivers.
The drivers. I feel like since I've traveled, there's that kind of nuance. There's a driver in every city that like, yeah. So it's not just Utah. So thank God. Yeah. I don't know. I think it would be like just the. It's just how the state is ran and how we do things as humans that we're just more curious and soft and like including my, this is me being more compassionate and really hone in on what's really happening with the kids, you know, from education, from the horror stories we hear, like everything, just have compassion and change that. All the secrets, all the quote unquote conspiracy theories that are actually turning into real things.
I love those, you know?
So like just all that coming to the light, and then, okay, you did wrong. Let's make it better. Nothing like eye for an eye, but like still at the same time, let's just be humans and be happy.
I like that.
Separate church from state, and like, let's just be, and like be humans.
Utah. So, I mean, you've lived in Utah for a while, right? No. Yeah. Like your whole life or no?
No. So 2008 is when I moved
up. Okay. So 2008. So the point I'm trying, I mean, you've probably seen a lot of change in Utah,
yes,
even in that department.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty incredible to see, if you ask me. It's getting there. I mean, our alcohol laws are getting a little more relaxed.
Yeah.
You like how I automatically go to alcohol? I don't even drink anymore. Yeah. But to me, it's important to just. Yeah,
I'm on board with you. They had the lockdown on alcohol. It's like it's just so much control.
The church. Whatever anybody believes is fine.
Yeah.
But let's keep them separate.
Yeah. That's the whole thing. It's just the control aspect.
Yeah. Let's keep them separate. Yeah. But what do you think of all the growth though on that same aspect? Yeah. I mean, that's over the last couple of years. I've been the type that's like, we need more people here. We need more people here. And now I'm like, whoa, I don't know. Yeah. This is maybe a little too much now.
Yeah. Now it's on the other side. There's so much of the pendulum. It was there and then now it's here. I think it's amazing. I think it's a polarity thing. You know, there's a big movement and culture of the church. So there's an opposite energy always. That's just how the earth, it's light, day, on, off. It's just polarity, but the growth of people, there's a lot and it's fun and beautiful. Also all the things I already mentioned about the change of it. There's just more people that are partaking in what Utah has, and it's shifting a little bit. But I think it's beautiful. Everything is just beautiful. It's happening the way it should happen, or, you know, it is what it is. And
so you're trying to see the best.
Yeah. So there's that, but then there's the things I said. Also, there's a lot of beautiful humans here. I mean, even a lot of beautiful, almost every person that is in membership with the church are amazing. You know, I've never had, you know, so it's not anything except it's not even like be equal and it's all that. It's just like, let's live in harmony, meaning take away, oh, I want balance. Harmony is just like, oh, it's going this way. You know, let's move this way. You know, dance, let's be humans. And so I think it's beautiful where it is. And I could see the potential space and growth. So that's the big part, is like, there's still room for growth, and I feel like it could happen.
Yeah. Well, I think all the people moving here too is what's helping bring the diversity that the state needed personally.
Yeah.
You know,
I feel like the big things, like the All-Star Weekend, I'm not even a basketball guy anymore, but that brings other people to you. Big things like that show, like, because I didn't know moving to Utah what Utah was. And I saw some bucket list concerts here in Utah, which I would never think, you know, or, you know, just the eatery here is amazing. You know, like, it's just so many good things. But if you're like me growing up outside of Utah, you just hear the typical church or this, or Utah is this and the mountains and that's it, you know? So. Yeah. Having these big events and like people coming through to actually experience Utah, I think is helping so much.
Heck of a conversation with you today, Earl. And I know I've said that. I mean, seriously, when I have these good conversations, I don't want them to end. You know what I mean? There's like so much we could talk about and so deep we can go, but, you know, we'll just have to, we'll have to catch up. I mean, is there, I mean, before, why the microphones are still going, why we're still recording, is there, I mean, I know we talked about your hats, we talked about the fellowship. Was there anything else that you were hoping that we could talk about and promote and bring up on the podcast?
I think we nailed it. I just think, yeah, just reach out.
Reach out. And let's run down the list of how we can connect with you again.
So Instagram, it's Earl at Work, or that's my old one, Earl doing the work. And then the fellowship, also Crown X Sage. And those are the ways you could like reach out to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here to be a soundboard. I'm here to do whatever it could work for both of us.
Yeah.
But yeah, that, I mean, I feel like we covered pretty much everything.
Let's, you know, I'm going to urge people listening to the podcast right now, to my listeners, please reach out to Earl,
yeah.
Send him a message on Instagram and just say, dude, I listen to the podcast. Yeah. Even if that's all you say.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Even if that's all you say, say, I listened. It's great to get to know you. Yeah. I mean, if you're not following him, hit that follow button on Instagram and that, you know, I know I've said this on the podcast. I've probably said it when you were on the podcast before, but like, this is the whole reason I created this show was like, let's all connect. Let's all work together. Let's all scratch each other's back because that's how we all grow. That's how we all get to know each other. I mean, I'm sure 98% of my listeners are unfamiliar with you and let's let them get familiar with you. Let's let them connect. You know, because you're a great guy. You're a beautiful person.
Thank you.
And you're welcome, man. Like more people should know you. Mm. And I feel like I'm just sitting. I'm not meaning to just. I can't say anything. You know, more. I mean, it's nothing but good for you, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you so much. Yeah. Let's catch up down the road.
Yeah.
You have a good night, man.
Yeah, you too. It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You bet, man.
All right.